Hello and welcome to this message from the campuses of Charter Oak Church in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. Today we begin a brand new series called Fearless, and we'll consider A.W. Tozer's quote, "A scared world needs a fearless church." Today, the message is titled, "A Fearless Church." What does it mean for us to be a fearless church? What doesn't it mean? There is a call upon our lives as disciples of Jesus to be confident in Jesus and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Here's your campus pastor.
So there's this wonderful theologian and author by the name of A.W. Tozer. And many years ago, he made this profound statement. He said, "A scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world needs a fearless church." Now, there is no doubt that the world we are living in right now is scared. It is so easy to see on social media when we're turning on the news. In fact, the next 4 months in our country have the chance to be even more challenging than the last 4 months were, because in the next 4 months, we are facing the fear of going back to school and the fear and the confusion of the presidential election. There is no doubt that our world is gripped by fear. And so today we start a message series called Fearless. And with this particular message, we are looking at both halves of that quote, a scared world and a fearless church. And we are going to be taking a look at two different biblical accounts that will help us illustrate both sides of that, fearfulness and fearlessness. So let's jump right in today. We are going to talk first about being fearful, a scared world, living in fear. And let me really quickly address a potential elephant in the room. So over the last 4 months, many, many churches have been accused, and Charter Oak is no different. We have been accused of operating in fear as we have temporarily closed our church buildings. People have emailed us, written to us, posted on social media that we are acting in fear because we have closed our church buildings. And I just want to take this opportunity to tell you this in truth and in love. Us making the temporary decision to close our building doors is not an act of fear any more than you buckling your seatbelt in a car is an act of fear. I truly hope you believe that. We don't buckle ourselves in. We especially don't buckle our children in because we lack a faith in God to protect us, right? We're just trying to protect ourselves and our kids in the best humanly way possible that we can. And I truly hope that your leaders at Charter Oak Church and our church leaders all across our country have earned our people's trust. And I pray that you can believe me when I say that the leaders of Charter Oak Church, at the very least, do not make decisions based on fear. We don't. But I do want to share a story with you about a group of people who did operate out of fear. We're going to go back 3,500 years and take a look at the Israelites, the Israelite refugees coming out of Egypt. And our first biblical account this morning is going to come out of the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. If you have your Bibles in front of you, I'd love to ask you to turn to that while you are. Let me give you some background here. So the Israelites, God's chosen people, they lived in slavery in Egypt for 450 years. And yet God said, "Hey, what I'm going to do for you is not only lead you out of slavery, but I'm going to give you your own land, a land overflowing with natural resources." The way God put it was, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land called Israel to this day after the Israelites. But before it had a name, it was just called the Promised Land because, and remember this, it's where God wanted them to be. And here's a fun fact, especially if you think you know this story. Do you know that when the Israelites left Egypt and escaped Egypt, they went right to the Promised Land? They went straight there. There was no wandering in the desert for 40 years, not yet, at least. That would come later. And so the Israelites escaped Egypt, went right to the the Promised Land, they stopped right at the border of the Promised Land. And Moses, their leader, he did something very, very prudent, at least in the eyes of human beings. He sent out 12 of his people, 12 spies, to kind of scout out this Promised Land to see if it really was as good as God had promised. Those spies went a little bit into the Promised Land, and then they came back, and here's the report they gave. Numbers 13, we're going to start in verse 27. The spies gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit." And they brought back these huge grapes. It took 2 men to carry this one bunch of grapes. That's how good the fruit in this land was. So here's what's happening. The scouts, those spies, found out that the land that God had promised them really was as good as God had promised. But, and this is so tragic, they're going to, for some reason, start operating out of fear, and fear is going to start to grip their hearts. And so right now, we are going to learn a few things about what happens when fear grips our hearts. First thing that happens when fear grips our hearts is that we start to rely on human wisdom. Verse 28 says, this is the spies talking. "The people who live there, oh, we know that the land is great and it's overflowing with milk and honey, but the people who live there are powerful and their cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there." Now, descendants of Anak were just historically these very large people. It's thought that Goliath descended from these people. So here's what's happening. God set aside this land for the Israelites. And so it shouldn't have mattered who was there or what was there. God was going to help them get to this place. Oh, but there's these big people and these big cities, and they lost focus on God because they were focused on themselves and their own human wisdom. Now, let me ask you, over the last 4 months, have you felt like you have been distracted from where God wants to take you, from where God wants to take your family? As a church family, have we been distracted from where God wants to take us? My gosh, because we're getting caught up in human politics and human wisdom, it's distracting us from where God is wanting us to go. We're seeing the lessons of 3,500 years ago revisit us today. Second thing that happens when fear grips our hearts is that we exaggerate the situation. Next in the report, verse 33, "We saw the Nephilim there." The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." We seemed like grasshoppers. Now, this is an obvious exaggeration. And we do this today. We absolutely do. When we are tempted by fear, the fear is almost always overblown. I mean, look at your own life, the times you were most worried in your life. How many times was that worry justified? Not often. Not often. Because we let our imaginations run wild and we start to write stories in our head. And the more we exaggerate the situation, the more fear takes over, and fear fuels exaggeration, and exaggeration fuels fear. And pretty soon we're in this awful, awful cycle of fear, and we're not even considering what God wants. Fear is a very powerful thing. Third, when fear grips our hearts, we spread negative talk. Tell me if this isn't true in our lives. Verse 32, "And the spies spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land. And they said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size.'" Now check this out. They're flat out lying now. The quality of the land up till this point had never been in question. It was always a great land flowing with milk and honey. They were holding grapes the size of bowling balls in their hand. And yet they spread a bad report about that land. Today, You know how much negativity there is on social media. We have been talking about it. That negativity that is running wild on social media is coming from non-Christians, and it's coming from Christians who know Jesus Christ and who have the power of the Holy Spirit in them, a power of peace and of love and of unity. That's how powerful fear is, when it can cause Christians to spread disunity and fear. Fourth, when fear grips our hearts, hey, we have an unrealistic view of the past. We have an unrealistic view of the past. We're in Numbers chapter 14 now, verse 4. The Israelites said to each other, listen to this, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back into slavery. They were on the border of stepping forward and stepping into God's promises, and they wanted to go backwards into slavery. Now, before you and I say that's crazy, this happens all the time in your life and in my life. This phenomenon is so common that there's a psychological phrase for it. It's called rosy retrospection. Rosy retrospection. It's idealizing the past and sometimes idolizing the past. No matter how bad it was, and for the Israelites, it was slavery and they wanted to go back into it. Oh, hey, this is going to be a little bit tough for us to hear. But a lot of Christians today want to go back to the way things were. We want to go back to the way things were. Now, let's talk about that for just a moment. The reason that Charter Oak Church exists and the reason that any church family exists is to make disciples. Let me ask you, before COVID, were the churches in America doing an absolutely bang-up job of making disciples? No? Well, then why would we want to go back? Why would we want to go back to something that wasn't working? You see, I think we romanticize the past because we can't see the future. We romanticize the past because we can't see the future. Fear makes it impossible for us to see God's preferred future. And that's why fear is so powerful. Finally, fear makes us miss opportunities to receive God's promises. Do you know what God told that generation of Israelites who refused to trust in him? Here's what he said in verse 23. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Now their kids would and their grandkids would. And to this day, the Jewish people still live in Israel. But that generation would never, ever see it. This is so sad for those Israelites. Their fear was more powerful than their faith, and it caused them, there's always consequences to this, it caused them to wander in the desert for 40 years in misery. Oh, my friends and church family, I wonder how much you and I missed over the last 4 months as we have been consumed by fear. This is a very difficult subject for us to tackle. Fear is difficult to talk about because we are afraid. We can see ourselves in the Israelites. If we're honest with ourselves, we can see ourselves in them as we are spreading negativity, as we are wanting to go backwards, as we are losing sight of God. Fear is like chains. This is fear, and fear absolutely holds us captive. We are slaves to fear and the things that it produces, like anger and rage and disunity. But this is our past. This is our past. And I don't like to talk about the negative as much as I like to talk about the positive. And so let's move on from the chains. And we'll get back to that in a little bit, but let's move on from the chains right now, talking about something much more joyful. The quote we're looking at is A scared world needs a fearless church. So let's talk about being fearless. And right now we're going to move away from the Old Testament into the New Testament. We're going to look at Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Now, Paul was somebody, if you don't know him, whose primary responsibility in life, his calling from God, was to start churches. He traveled around the Mediterranean world starting churches. And when I say starting churches, I don't mean building church buildings, because that wouldn't come until later in history. Paul built churches by building people, telling them about Jesus, seeing people take off their sin, like we talked about a few weeks ago, and putting on their new life in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. He was very good about it, very passionate about it. You know what his earthly reward was for following God? It was to be thrown in jail. Paul literally, because he was following Jesus Christ, had chains on. Paul was chained to a wall because of the work he was doing for Jesus. So what in the world is the difference between being held in slavery by our own fear or being in chains for Jesus Christ? What is the difference? I want to let Paul, through the veil of 2,000 years, tell us exactly what the difference is. Here's what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14. He writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result of what has happened, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." And what we're talking about today is how we as the church, 2,000 years later, can operate without fear. And so let's talk about what happens when faith overcomes fear. The first thing that happens when faith overcomes fear is that the gospel is advanced. Verse 12, Paul writes, "What has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." I love how God works. The authorities and the religious elite in the first century who hated Christianity and hated the gospel message thought that they could stop the spread of the gospel by putting one of its primary leaders in chains. That's what they thought. That was human wisdom. But their actions actually produced the exact opposite results because they were relying on human wisdom. Satan loves what is happening in our nation today. He loves the fear. He loves the anger. He loves people fighting with each other on social media. He absolutely loves Christians fighting with each other on social media. But here's the thing about Satan. He has another thing coming. Because for as powerful and as devious as our enemy is, he's not a forward thinker. He tends to live in the moment. And yes, in this moment, COVID has caused rage and fear in some Christians. And that's just flat out human nature. But I've seen other Christians react differently, react unexpectedly. I'm seeing many, many people take ownership of their faith by doing things like participating in daily Bible study and rededicating themselves to prayer. By doing things like participating in our Wednesday night Bible study, gathering together virtually with our small group to do YouVersion Bible studies and devotionals together. I love that. As summer activities have been canceled, I've seen, of course, many people get really upset and enraged by that, but I've seen many other Christians use that time to serve, to check on their neighbors, to provide meals, to volunteer at the food bank. And as our primary method of human interaction has gone online, I've seen many people use their online voice to fuel anger and rage and division, but I have seen many of you and many Christians use their online voice to draw people to Jesus Christ. by sharing scripture verses, by inviting people to online worship right here, by inviting their neighbors to live worship in our parking lot on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. And though Satan loves what's happening right now, he can't see into the future, because when faith is more powerful than fear, the gospel will advance in any situation. And that's what I see as the future for the church in our country and for the church in Westmoreland County. Second out of three, when faith overcomes fear, our confidence is in the Lord. Paul writes, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord. You've got to see that Paul didn't care at all about his chains, didn't care at all. You know why Paul didn't care about these chains? Because he knew that he was free. And Paul was free because of where his confidence was placed. Where is your confidence placed today? Is your confidence in the government, because governments rise and fall? Is your confidence in yourself and your own opinion? If it is, I want to say with truth and in love that you are setting the bar way too low if your confidence is only in yourself and your own opinion. And I can only say that because of this statement. If God truly does exist, then our confidence can be in him. And if our confidence isn't tied to anything on this planet, then that means that no matter what happens on this planet, then Jesus is enough. If we do lose our jobs, Jesus is enough. If we get sick, Jesus is enough. If we have to wear a mask when we walk into a store, Jesus is enough, man. If school doesn't open up exactly how we want it to this fall, then Jesus is enough. Paul's earthly circumstances were awful. He was in chains, but he used his temporary earthly chains to point people to Jesus Christ. Church, what if we did that? What if we did that? Third and finally, when faith overcomes fear, we become a fearless church. Verse 14b, Paul says, we dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. My friends, I got to share my heart with you right now. I believe heaven exists. I believe our God is so good, and I believe that life on this planet is temporary. And I suspect that most of you participating in this today believe the same thing. And if we do believe those things, then our primary joy and our primary responsibility is to tell other people that heaven exists and God is good and our sins have been paid for and that this life is short. Now, do we spread the gospel message only when it's convenient? Do we spread the gospel message when we don't have other things to do? Do we spread the gospel message online only when we're not ranting about politics? That's not what Paul says here in verse 14. What Paul says here in verse 14 is that we dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. I think Paul uses this word dare here very intentionally, because spreading the gospel message is hard. It's contrary to the way of the world, and it is so easy to be consumed by fear. But let me ask you a few questions. Did God part the Red Sea? If you believe he did, you can say yes right now. You can nod your head. You can give a thumbs up. You can even type yes in capital letters in the chat function on our online church platform. Did David defeat Goliath? Did the walls of Jericho come tumbling down? Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk out of the flaming furnace? Did God come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to save you and I from our sin? And was the tomb empty on Sunday morning? Let me ask you one more question. Would every single person in Greensburg answer yes to all of those questions? No? Then we've got some work to do. you and I have got some joyful work to do. Let's realize that no chain can prevent us from doing what we were called by the God of the universe to do, which is spread good news. Our scared world needs a fearless church. My friends, are you willing to take up that mantle? Are you willing to lose the chains of fear? Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, I want to pray right now, maybe the boldest prayer that I have prayed in a long time. I want you to remove the earthly fear from my heart, and I want you to do the same for my brothers and sisters participating right now. Lord God, your church and your Christians cannot act like the rest of the world, because we have something that they don't right now. We have something that they don't have yet, which is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And I pray that Spirit is activated, Lord God, that we do not act like everybody else, but that we know that we have been transformed by your power. And Lord God, I want to pray for one more thing. I want to pray for unity in the church. I want to pray for one heart and one spirit. And yes, Lord God, we may vote for different political candidates. We may live in different neighborhoods around Greensburg. We may have different color skin. But I pray that we understand that we are unified by at least one thing. But that one thing is very powerful. We are united as brothers and sisters, Lord God, with you as Father. The scared world needs a fearless church. I pray that Charter Oak Church becomes a fearless, fearless church so that we can continue to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And it is in your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. My friends, thank you so much for joining together in worship as the body of Christ. Some announcements for us. So every week throughout 2020, we have been praying for three neighborhoods within a 5-mile radius of Crossroads campus. And this week, instead of doing that, I'd like to ask you to pray for our other three campuses, for our Fry Farm campus in Unity Township, for our Jeanette campus, and for our Mount Pleasant Scottsdale campus, that those campuses may continue to infuse passion for Jesus, and that we may come together as one fearless church. And please join us right back here next week, 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock on the church platform, anytime on our YouTube channel or live in our campus's parking lot next Sunday at 11 o'clock. My friends and family, please go forth in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and for the sake of the world, let's start to live into our calling to be a fearless church.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. Be sure to stay connected with us at all times on our campus-specific Facebook pages or on our church-wide Instagram at @WeAreCharterOak. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter to get email updates every Wednesday with the latest news and info from Charter Oak Church. Until next week, God bless. Have a great week, everybody.